आरुद्धद् दुखीता राजन् भवाताम् प्रपितो मही। श्रीशुक उवाच इति अनुस्मृत्य स्वजनम् कृष्णं स जगदीश्वर प्रारुदा दुखिता राजन् भवतां परितामही। श्रीशुक उवाच इति अनुस्मृता स्वजनम् कृष्णं स जगतीश्वरम् प्रारुदा दुखिता राजन् भवतां प्रपितामही। श्रीशुक उवाच इति अनुस्मृत्य स्वजानम् कृष्णं स जगदीश्वरम् प्रारुधा दुखिता राजन् भवतां प्रपितामही।
Madhajis?
Shri Shukra Vacha.
Yes.
श्रीशुक उवाच। श्री सुखदेव गोस्वामी सेड इति एज एक्सप्रेस्ड इन दिस वर्ड्स अनुस्मृत्य रिमेम्बरिंग स्वजनम हर ओन रिलेटिव्स कृष्णम कृष्णा च एंड जगत ऑफ द यूनिवर्स ईश्वरम द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड प्ररुदात शी क्राइड लाउडली दुखीता अनहैप्पी राजन ओ किंग परीक्षित भवताम ऑफ योर गुड सेल्फ प्रपितामही द ग्रेट ग्रैंड मदर। ट्रांसलेशन सुखदेव गोस्वामी सेड Thus meditating on her family members and also on Krishna, the Lord of the universe, your great grandmother Kunti Devi began to cry out in grief, O King. Text 15. Translation. Both Akrura, who shared Queen Kunti's distress and happiness, and the illustrious Vidura, consoled the Queen by reminding her of the extraordinary way her sons had taken birth. Purport. Akrura and Vidura reminded Queen Kunti that her sons were born of heavenly gods and thus could not be vanquished like ordinary mortals. In fact, an extraordinary victory awaited this most pious family.
Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patita Nam Pavanebhyo Ebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gauratvishe Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Brindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Hari Priye Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Rama
Hare Krishna. So, in this chapter that we are talking about, after Krishna has sent Akrura to Hastinapur and he is interacting with Queen Kunti, the great grandmother of Maharaj Parikshit. And these are the words spoken by our worshipable Sukadev Goswami to Maharaj Parikshit. Majority of the times, Sukadev Goswami is narrating the various pastimes that is going to help Parikshit Maharaj overcome the serious catastrophe that is in front of him. Of dying in 7 days. But also, in between, Sukadeva Goswami is personally speaking to Maharaj Parikshit, giving his own understanding and giving his own realizations. And every word that he speaks is very, very relevant. And here, it is explained that Prapitamahi, that Queen Kunti is your Prapitamahi, is your great grandmother. He doesn't just mention Queen Kunti. He says, your great grandmother Queen Kunti. So as we say that, you know, we can be, you know, Krishna Das or Gopinath Das or whatever. But we are all, after all, Rupanugas. Why? Because we are connected to that great personality, Rupa Goswami. So that gives additional responsibility. That we are representing, we are the followers of Rupa Goswami. Or yeah, we are representing Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada Anuga. We are followers of Srila Prabhupada. So when we are representing somebody, or rather when we are just on our own, We don't really have to be, I mean, we could be not so concerned about, because if at all something is going to go bad, it's going to hurt our own prestige. But when we are representing somebody very great, then it is a greater responsibility to really represent that person by our behavior. Right? That's why we as devotees are supposed to behave properly, because we are representing not just Krishna Das or Gopinath Das or whatever, but we are representing Prabhupada, our spiritual master, Lord Chaitanya, Rupa Goswami. So similarly here, Parikshit Maharaj, out of his great concern and out of his great mercy on his disciple Parikshit, Sukadeva Goswami was his guru, and Parikshit Maharaj was his disciple. He had approached him and said, "I surrender unto you, please instruct me." And Sukadeva Goswami is telling that Queen Kunti, who is crying in grief when she met Akrura, is your great grandmother. So it is very instructive, because he wanted Parikshit Maharaj to learn that he belonged to such an illustrious family, and this family had had some amazing feats of surrender to Krishna, and you are in a similar situation right now. So he is reminding Maharaj Parikshit of the great dynasty that he belongs to. What are the troubles that the great Pandavas went through? If you see the troubles, so moment he says that you are a great grandson, or Kunti is a great grandmother, then all the history comes in front of us. And what is the history? The history of Pandu dying at a very young age, the history of the Pandavas being half orphans, being raised in a very, very envious environment. Queen Kunti was struggling to protect them. Everyone around was trying to kill them. They were not wanted. Can you imagine? Please, let us all understand a situation where for years you have to stay in a place where you are not wanted. And I mean, like you come to a room, and then you are not supposed to be in that room, and there is a meeting going on, and people look at you, and you get the strong vibes. I said, get out. Right? We all have experienced it. And then automatically you feel very uncomfortable, and you say, oh, okay. I'm not supposed to be here, and you leave. Is it not? This is what we have experienced in a small room for a few seconds. But can you imagine, you know, staying in a place, in your home, you know, where you're staying, where people are not wanting you, first of all, not just not wanting you, but wanting to kill you, plotting to kill you, and you don't have a father to really protect you. Your mother is helpless. You have to fight your own battle, and the only thing you have is the mercy of the Lord to protect. So actually speaking, I mean, you know, if you really analyze the Pandavas and Queen Kunti, if you really bring them to a level that we, I mean, you know, they are great devotees, but not seeing them as great devotees, but seeing them, what they all went through, it was excruciating troubles day after day. I mean, you know, we all know, you know, I know my wife's father. You know, he died when she was very young. She was in the Pune Yatra. She was with all the devotees, and here in Bombay, he suffered a massive heart attack and he died. And she was a doctor, she could have helped. But she was in Pune. And she was young. She was just waiting for her MBBS results. And, you know, her father wanting to be an MBBS. So, I mean, it sounds very mundane. So what? You know, this is material world. It happens. But when we actually go through that, it is so much trouble to really lose somebody who protects you at a young age. And Pandavas were tiny children when they lost Pandu in the forest. And we were discussing yesterday in a group of devotees that, you know, we talk about, you know, insecurity of not having a proper house. It is, well, you know, I stay in a rented place, or I stay in a very small, typical scenario of Mumbai, a small one bedroom hall kitchen house, and, you know, insecurity because of not proper house and everything. Now Pandavas, for years and years, they didn't have a house. They were just loitering in the forest. You know, let us analyze the situation of what they all went through. We were also analyzing that, you know, even with the Kali Yuga progressing to such an extent, we hear all sorts of unfortunate things happening to the ladies in the society, all the sad things that are happening to them. But it may take years from now to really even do something what happened to Draupadi, her whole family members trying to disrobe her in public. It's not happened yet, right? I mean, we don't hear of that thing happening. This happened 5,000 years ago. So the type of suffering that the Pandavas went through is what Sukadeva Goswami is reminding Parikshit Maharaj. Just by this one word, you are the grandson, he sees a great grandmother, Queen Kunti. And you are now, I mean, it must be 5th or 6th day of the Bhagavad, 10th canto, 49th chapter. Just 2 more cantos remaining, and that's the 7th day, and then of course he's going to depart. So he's preparing his consciousness. I said, please understand the great dynasty that you belong to. So I think we must understand that every word spoken in the Bhagavatam has such weightage and such meaning that you know it can really, really give us a deep understanding of the depth of Sukadeva Goswami. And how fortunate we are to read a scripture of such profuse depth. And then of course, we hear Queen Kunti, what is the words used? Prarudhat and Dukhitad. Prarudhat means she cried loudly and Dukhitad unhappy. Then when we use these two words, what comes to our mind? It must be a person with tremendous suffering. And you know, who is just, you know, just Prarudha is crying loudly. Now that's not a sign of a sama sarveshu bhuteshu, or you know, a person who is equipoised, you know, in all situations, as Gita spoke. Gita says that, you know, one who is self-controlled doesn't get too disturbed by pain and doesn't get too ecstatic in happiness. And here, Queen Kunti, the words used by Sukadeva Goswami, that she's crying loudly. Not just crying loudly. Prarudat. And Dukhitat. Unhappy. Now you can say, well, what's wrong with Queen Kunti? What happened to her? Why is she not controlling herself? You know, she's a great devotee of the Lord. There is a book dedicated to her, prayers of Queen Kunti, in the first canto. She offered beautiful prayers with the same Sukadeva Goswami is narrating. And what happened to her in the 10th canto? She is crying loudly out of tremendous unhappiness. So there might be a doubt in our mind that this grief that Queen Kunti is going through appears to be very mundane. And you know, as many times as practitioners, strict practitioners of the bhakti cult, sometimes we have a wrong understanding that we should be tough. Yes, we should be tough. But our purpose of life is not to be tough like the stone. You know, stone has no feelings. And that is why this great saint, he says that there is a mistake the creator has done. He has put a stone instead of a heart. What is that line? Vasudeva Ghosh, that. Vashur Ghiya Pashanadi. That, you know, he has done a mistake. You know, instead of a heart, he has put a stone instead, because the stone has no feelings. That my heart has no feelings. But we must understand the amazing nature of emotions in Krishna consciousness. It is said that emotions, I was hearing the class by one of the leaders in ISKCON, he says, emotions directed towards Krishna become the source of greatest bliss and increase the ecstatic love of our nature of our love. So emotions by itself, that emotions when they mix with false ego, they give rise to anarthas. Like, you know, basically anything that is there is basically pure. Because all the emotions, they originate from Krishna. There is pure greed, there is pure lust, there is pure anger, there is pure grief. But when that pure thing mixes with something inauspicious or something inauspicious as a false ego, then that gives rise to anarthas. Ambition. Ambition to serve Krishna is perfect. I want to be a wonderful servant of Krishna. But when an ambition mixes with false ego, you become Duryodhan. But when ambition is purely oriented, you become Arjun. That is, I want to be an unalloyed servant of Krishna. It is just that the original quality of emotion is pure always, because it originates from the supreme pure. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnash Purnamudya Chite Purnash Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. That Krishna is perfect and complete, and everything emanating from Krishna is perfect and complete. And because all the emotions are originally there in Krishna, they are perfect and complete and pure. And that's what we inherit. But when their pure emotions are mixed with false ego, when we come to the material world, that gives rise to all the anarthas. But Queen Kunti, what she's exhibiting is pure grief towards Krishna. Not towards Krishna. When she's in front of Krishna about the family situation. And when anything is focused towards Krishna, it becomes pure. Because Krishna is Pavitra. One who makes everything pure. So she is weeping and she is crying, but it is pure form of grief. There is absolutely no adulteration, no. So we must understand that when it is explained that do not throw the baby out with the bath water. Well, there is a saying that when you're giving a bath to the baby, and you know, and after bathing, the water is dirty because there's soap and everything. We don't just take the baby and throw the water along with the baby, right? Nobody does that. It's stupid. You throw the water out and you keep the baby intact. This was quoted by Radhanath Maharaj. A beautiful saying and very deep. So what is explained here is that it is not that we have to throw away our emotions. We have to purify the emotions and throw away the anarthas and let the emotions remain. But sometimes, sadly, we become so very hard-hearted. It is not natural to be hard-hearted. It is very artificial to be hard-hearted. But when we keep on becoming hard-hearted more and more and more, it becomes a habit. I remember, because of poor training, or rather more than training, because of poor understanding of the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, we were told, and at least I believe, not that nobody told us, but we believed that if your parents are angry, disgusted with you, you are perfectly situated in bhakti. They should, that is perfect. And and many times in Grihastha Ashram, if there are fights and disturbances, that is perfect because you will not be attached. And if the wife is suffering or the husband is suffering, be detached and continue your service because service is higher. These are all signs of hard-heartedness. And if that was required, then Sukadeva Goswami would have not mentioned the example of Kunti doing prarudhat and dukhita. He would not be using these words because it was not, this is Bhagavatam. Emotions will be there, emotions must be there. But how you use the emotions? Let us all understand that the perfection of our life is pure bhakti is not to annihilate the natural emotion of the soul, but to purify them. It is not that we just annihilate and destroy all the, that's Mayavad. We are not, but a devotee of the Lord is full, profusely turgid with emotions. You understand turgid? That just prick it and it just flows out. And not just in small quantities, but is profusely turgid with emotions. And that's why you see Prabhupada sometimes crying. sometimes showing all these wonderful emotions, a pure duty to the Lord. When he met one of his disciples who went to Pakistan and he came back, Prabhupada was touching every part of his body and crying, right? Say, oh, are you safe? I think Gargamuni Prabhu or somebody, isn't it? So Prabhupada got up and like a father he came, he was touching. He said, I thought you were dead. And then Prabhupada touching every part of his body and he said, are you safe? And he was crying. Now what will you call that? What is this Prabhupada, touching his disciples' body to see everything is okay? What is this material? He already said that his body is material. He already taught to his disciples, and what is this? Emotion. But these are pure emotions. So please let us all understand the fineness, the subtlety of spiritual practice. That the purpose of spiritual practice is that we make our emotions more and more and more refined, more and more pure, and not in the bargain of purifying. If you're doing a chemical experiment and you just throw the main product out, what's the use? In the guise of making the experiment work, doesn't make sense. You just throw the product out. But the whole experiment that we are trying to do, the whole process that we are trying to do is purify the emotions. That means there is in the flask there is emotions and there is some chemical we are trying to add and purify and then throw the unearthers out and keep the emotions pure. So that is what we need to learn from this beautiful discussion between Queen Kunti and Akrurji. We are discussing that many times Queen Kunti is in a situation of great suffering. She's talking about her suffering, and many times when devotees go through suffering situations, difficulties, challenging, testing situations, then it tends to give rise to doubt, right? When this extreme suffering, it results in some sort of a doubt. And that's what she said. Is Krishna really remembering us? Is he going to come here and take care of my sons? Now Queen Kunti is absolutely a high level devotee of the Lord. You can question that. Why is she having doubts? What is this doubt? Why does it come? We are reminded of a situation when Arjun was in the battlefield and Abhimanyu was killed. Arjun, out of his great anger, he took a vow that I will kill Jayadrath tomorrow or I'll enter into fire and kill myself. He took this vow, and of course there was a strategy meeting on how it was going to happen, and Krishna was there. And they decided a strategy. Krishna told, it is explained in the Mahabharata, it's not going to be easy to kill Jayadrath because they are going to do everything to protect him. They were taking this vow. All these great souls, they take vows and then it, especially typically Arjun. And who is in anxiety? Krishna. That's why we did this drama, when God becomes anxious. So Krishna, after the whole meeting is over and everything, he goes to his room. And Arjun was, first Krishna made Arjun sleep. They were discussing Arjun's tent. After the meeting, Krishna and Arjun went to Arjun's tent. And Krishna said, don't worry, tomorrow it will be difficult, but you'll be able to do it. Don't worry. And they were talking as friends. Bhavad explained, they both lied on the same. Can you imagine the friendship of Arjun? That Krishna and Arjun were lying on the same bed talking together. And then Arjun sleeps. Krishna just goes from his room and then goes to his room, and Krishna went to his room alone, he's in his room. And Krishna is not able to sleep, he's tossing and turning. And he's having this doubt. Now please understand, Krishna is having this doubt. So what if Arjuna does not kill Jayadrath? And just the thought of Arjuna not being dying and entering fire, Krishna could not, even he said this whole world will be a jury void without Arjuna. How will I survive in this world? Krishna is thinking. Krishna is having that doubt because there was a challenging situation in front of us, of Krishna. So we must understand, even Lord Chaitanya actually, Lord Chaitanya, who is the Lord himself, Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sat Aishwarya Purna Bhagwan, he goes and meets Haridas Thakur and seeing the traumatic situation of Kali Yuga, he said, Haridas, how will these people ever be delivered? No, that means this question is asked out of doubt. Ki kaisa hoga iske log ka, kya hoga? And the Haridas gives solace to the Lord. Said, don't worry Lord, your holy name is so powerful, and there's a whole discussion. Now you might wonder, what is this? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the same person who says, Nam Nam Akari Bahudanida Sarva Shakti Statrapita Niyamita Smaranena Kala. He's a person who wrote these verses, that there is so much potency in the holy name, and it can be chanted with any rules, without any rules and regulations. And he goes on with the progression, how this holy name can reveal the pure love of God to the heart. And he's asking this question to Haridas, that these people are suffering, how will they ever be delivered? And Haridas Thakur is giving him the consolation. You know, in one sense, counseling. The Lord, don't worry. You know, your holy name is very, very powerful. So we must understand that devotees should have no doubts in their lives. But at the same time, from the reality perspective, the practical perspective is that devotees, when they go through extreme situations of difficulties, they may be in a situation of doubt. And at that time, to call them, are isko doubt hai yaar, ye bloop ho raha hai. Problem. It will be very, very insensitive on our part. Sometimes a devotee might talk, saying that, does Krishna really exist? Is he not seeing how I am suffering? And you say, well, what are you talking? You attended the GOHD course, you have attended Bhagavatam classes and everything. How can you say Krishna doesn't exist? So we must understand, one is knowledge, and other is, there's Jnan and Vigyan, and other is practice of the Vigyan, which can be externally looking very, very confusing many times. But a devotee has to be sensitive to the situation that other devotees are passing by. Akrur, Akrur and Vidura, who said, Kunti Maharani, you are saying this? That would not be preaching, that would not be counseling, right? They are understanding what she is going through as a mother. So when we are in a process of helping some devotee, when in a process of counseling or whatever, you know, whatever help you are doing, it is very imperative and very, very important for us to understand what is the situation that this person is into, and what is making him speak. Why is he speaking what he is speaking? Because, you know, temporarily you could be in that situation. Not that you want to be in the situation, but you could be in the situation. So many times we have seen, you know, there was one other devotee, very senior devotee of the many years back, 1990-1991. She was having some serious disease, and I was just 2-3 years old devotee. And I went to meet her, and she was alone in the room. And she said, thank you for coming. And she told, don't chant Hare Krishna. I said, this Krishna is not a God to surrender. I said, my God. I was getting more and more surprised. What is she talking? I said that, you know, the whole process is, she was a devotee for many years. And she got this traumatic cancer. I said, I have given my life to Krishna, but see the state that I am in now. So I was really confused. I said, my God, I should leave from here. Then one senior devotee came there, and he was there, and I was just talking to him. I said, what is this? And then right in front of my eyes, as Krishna was just seeing my extreme confused situation, and then she started crying. This lady started crying. And she started saying this verse, Ashlishya va pad ratam binastu mam adarshana mam hartar kutuva yata tata va vidadatu lampato mat prana nathastu evana para. And I didn't know Shikshastakam that time. I said, what is she talking now? And then the person explained, and she started crying, crying and crying. I said, what to do? Krishna is our Lord unconditionally. I will never give up Krishna. I said, this is amazing. This is a devotee, isn't it? So then this, I understood that, you know, a devotee goes through a temporary phase, and even that apparent cursing, or not even cursing, this apparent anger towards Krishna is nothing but a sign of love, because a devotee does not have anything else but Krishna. So of course this is one example, but in general when we have devotees going through difficulties, there could be a phase where they may have some negative feelings in their heart because of the situation that they're going through, and it is our duty to help them to remove those negative feelings and not just tag them as somebody who is, you know, offensive, somebody who is XYZ. That tagging that we do many times. And the last thing that we learn is many times in devotees' lives also. Just recently we had a discussion and a group of devotees with Braj Bihari Prabhu. We were discussing about bhakti, and he gave a nice example, and he was talking about the train which goes through underground, what is it called, the tunnel. So when the train goes through the tunnel, and if the tunnel is really long, you don't know anything. You just see darkness in the front, darkness in the back. And when a train is right in the middle of the tunnel, you see back complete darkness, you see in the front complete darkness, and you wonder what you are, you know, what's happening. You can't even see your own hands. So sometimes in Krishna consciousness, when we join, we are in bright daylight. We are blissful. But as we are going in our process of Krishna consciousness, the train of our devotional service enters through the tunnel of darkness. And we don't see what is back, we don't see what is front. In front, we don't see anything. What is there? Darkness is dikh raha hai, sir. We don't see anything. And while in that darkness, in that train, if you hear somebody speaking, this Krishna consciousness is all useless. Chhod do isko. You have missed so many things in life. You know, you could have done so much, but you missed it in your youth. You have given your youth to Krishna, and what have you really gained? You don't know who is speaking this. Who is speaking? So while in the tunnel, you can start having these doubts in the middle of your life. This is what typically is called the midlife crisis. And the midlife crisis gives rise to this very, very unfortunate situation of doubts in our life. Kunti Maharani is having some doubt. Well, this is pure. But devotees, in the beginning, they don't tend to have much doubt because they have a lot of faith. Faith is the antidote to doubt. Right? Once you have faith, no doubt can really stand because you have faith. Even if you don't experience what you are supposed to experience, you have faith that I will experience it, and that doubt which is caused because not experiencing is gone because of the faith that we have. But as we go in our progressive path to furthering in our Krishna consciousness, it's a powerful syndrome, a powerful effect that happens of midlife crisis. That, as we say, in tunnel in the middle is all dark. Don't see light in the front, don't see light at the back, it's all dark. And we all tend to have this feeling that I really have missed things in life. What is this midlife crisis? It typically happens as I was studying some books at the age of 40, 35, 40, 45. When people in general, of course devotees also, where they feel that, well, you know, they start having extramarital affairs in the offices. And all these strange things start happening. You know, they start, you know, suddenly wearing trendy clothes, which they never wore in their life. At age of 45. The women start making their hair much, much more different than what they ever had in their life. Much, much more, trendy. There's a whole different bodily symptoms of a midlife crisis explained. And of course, it is all born out of internal emotion of doubt that I've missed out things in life. You know, I studied my whole life, then I took a job, I was taking care of my family. मजा ही नहीं किया मैंने. अभी मजा करना है, अभी बहुत हो गया. Because now I have got money. I didn't enjoy. This is a karmi. But devotee can think and does think sometimes like that. You know, every Sunday I have gone to the temple for last 18 years. Hari bol and dancing. But now, you know, I want to take a break. You know, I need break in my life. I need to explore, you know, what is there in Lonavala. You know, I need to explore, you know, what's happening in the world outside. You know, or I need to really meet my old friends which I have got connected through the Facebook. You know, I got my old friends of my batch 1986, you know, BE batch. And the friends are coming together and, you know, we need to just get along. How are they doing and what's happening in their life? These are all emotions that crop up. And if they are not checked, this crisis can be, it is called midlife, not danger, crisis. It can create crisis in our life because it's all born out of doubt that can Krishna consciousness give me everything? And the answer we get in our heart say, no, not everything. You have missed out many things in life. Try it out. And continue your Krishna consciousness, but try out those things. Don't give wholesale surrender to Krishna. Don't do that. You need to enjoy individually. So many devotees. They have been very strict with my principles now. You know, enough of this strictness. You know, now I want to let loose and otherwise, you know, I have to come back to the material world. So this crisis, these thoughts are very dangerous. These doubts. So if we do not have complete conviction that Akale Ishwara Krishna Ara Shakala Bhritya. Beautiful statement, right? In one statement, it just smashes all the desires you want to have separate from Krishna. That only Krishna is the truth, Ara Shakala Bhritya. Everything else is Bhritya, is false. So we must have complete faith that when we have Krishna, we have everything. We don't need to enjoy anything else separate from Krishna. I was just in the terrace and I was hearing the Guru Puja today. Just the sound of Guru Puja. I didn't even know who was singing because I think many people were singing. different sounds coming. I was trying to trace who's singing. Once it was Radhesh Lal, then Jai Sachinandan sounding, I don't know, different. But I was just saying that the bliss of not even seeing, but there's a bliss of hearing. Now why we want to give up this bliss? Why is the thought should come that I'm missing out something in life? You know, this darshan of the Lord, what more can we get better than this darshan of the Lord? Why we want to see anything which is simply, as Bhaktisiddhan said, exercise to the eyes? Of course, he mentioned seeing the darshan as access to the eyes in that context, right? I said just having darshan and missing Bhagavatam class is simply access to the eyes. But we are trying to enjoy the external phantasmagoria outside in the world. We don't need. So of course, there's a whole big lot subject matter of crisis that comes in the middle part of our life. And then we say, well, you know, I have my desires. And the many people have their own their hidden desires which are curbed because of the path of bhakti. And you could really dovetail those desires in Krishna, which is perfect. But there are many serious desires which are there which cannot be dovetailed. I want to explore Bollywood. And of course, it with proper guidance, hopefully that can also be dovetailed. I only hope that. But it is serious crisis if this desire is cropped. I mean, if you don't, you cannot give yes to all your desires. You have to say no to the desires and you have to Krishnaize those desires. Otherwise, slowly but surely, we will lose the conviction, the faith in Krishna. That's why, you know, it is not that it is well begun is half done, as they say. So we all have well begun, but it's really half done. But at the half period of our life, what we do is fully done. You're getting the point. It's the midpoint of our life that many of us are, most of us are, at the midpoint. 30, 35, 40 age. And where the body becomes a little slow. And people, you know, we may not be as dynamic as we grow. There are many things that we can't do. Honestly, now I used to be, again, always, I once met, he was in Mayapur Kirtan. One of those mad Kirtans. In a Kartik, we were in Mayapur and devotees were madly dancing. And it was the first Kirtan, I got knocked out of the Kirtan out. I mean, I used to be part of the Kirtan most of the times. And then I was walking with Radhanath Maharaj. I said, Maharaj, amazing Kirtan, but, you know, devotees are really, really very aggressive, Maharaj. We should do something. Maharaj said, you were like that 5 years ago. And devotees came complaining about you to me also 5 years ago. And now, you know, I used to be in the middle and now I'm not in the temple hall at all. I can't dance. And many of us will have that experience. We just... And when Kirtan starts, we go out because it's too much. Right? So, I mean, I'm sure all of you experience that, right? In the youth, we can be part of those gymnastic dancing. But then when the body goes old, we realize that, you know, and slowly, but if the heart is in the Kirtan, that is fine. Of course, we should try and be in the Kirtan. We should try and dance gentlemanly as much as possible. But of course, ecstasy is ecstasy. You can't control ecstasies. Gaurang Priya's ecstasy, how can you ever control? And that is a fish to the eye to see his ecstasies. Sudama Prabhu's ecstasy is going down and going... How can you control such ecstasies? You know. But we will realize that there are many things that we can't do anymore. And as we grow more and more older, you will see that there are many people doing many things much better than us, and we are not able to do that many things that we used to do. And then the thought comes that, abhi mere ko kuch, I should do something because, you know, I'm losing out the grip, you know, of my control is losing out, so I must hang on to something. And if you hang on to something which is not Krishna, that is very dangerous. Like that Bilwamangal Thakur, he couldn't hang on to anything, he hang on to a snake to go up. Desperation. So you hang on to something, it might be dangerous like a snake. It might take up God knows where. So I think this is just the few things that we wanted to share. First of all, you know, the complete confirmation of what King Kunti is doing is 100% Krishna conscious, because she is just much beyond, you know, grief. She's on a very advanced level of love for Krishna. So it is not just mundane grief, but the purest form of grief focused towards Krishna. And any emotion that is focused towards Krishna is a pure emotion. And then we also wanted to say that you know, devotees do go through challenging situations, and you have to be very sensitive to their situations, because in their situation they may have some doubts and they might have some concerns. We have to address those concerns rather than tagging them. And the most important thing is the doubts that arise in our Krishna consciousness, that whether Krishna will give me everything, which usually arises after some few years of practice of Krishna consciousness, when those innate desires, they again rise, because they are not out. When they rise, we have to just take complete shelter of Krishna, knowing very well that Ekala Ishvara Krishna Ara Shakala Bhritya. So if we are really attached to the process, because we have to end the process, we have to end till the end of our life. It's a long journey that we still need to go. So let not the demon of doubt attack us, and let not the midlife crisis destroy our Krishna consciousness. And let us all take shelter of Krishna. I thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Is there any corrections? Radha Gopinath Prabhu, Gaur Gopal Prabhu, all any devotees, any questions? Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki.